Judith Durham, and you're listening to Mark Kopeloff on the station that sounds great to me, 88.3 Southern FM.
Now I'm going to play a snippet from Russell Morris and Johnny Young. Now, this is a real treat for me doing this interview, because it's the guys are talking about The Real Thing, which was written by Johnny Young and sung by Russell Morris, both of whom are in this interview. Now, earlier tonight I had Ross Wilson on talking about his monster hit Eagle Rock, and The Real Thing really changed the music scene in Australia. It was completely different from what Australia had been releasing on the music scene, even though my favourite period is the 60s in music, and Australia was just bursting with great talent, whether it's The Groove or The Group or Easy Beats or whoever. But The Real Thing was quite different. It came out in April 1969. It reached number one and stayed in the charts for nearly half a year. And it's another Aussie classic. So let's have a listen to Russell Morris, who's been fantastic. He's been on my show about four times, and a great guy, fantastic guy to deal with. And arguably one of the greatest singers that Australia's ever produced. His voice is so versatile. He can do a ballad like The Girl That I Love, and then he can do great rock and roll too. He's so versatile. But anyway, let's have a listen to Russell Morris and Johnny Young.
But we're going to talk about The Real Thing, are we?
Yeah, so a few things.
Yeah, we're talking about The Real Thing.
Okay. So I want to mention a few things about it. And first of all, Johnny, is it true that it was written as a reaction against Coca-Cola's jingle, Coke is a Real Thing?
Ah, look, we've lied about that song for so many years, haven't we, Russell? None of us knew what it was about.
Okay.
We had no idea. It sort of had a loose sort of meaning of there are so many things in the world that say we're the real thing. Okay. We had this conversation, right? Hitler said he was the real thing. He was going to rule the world and make the world a better place. And different religions say that they are the real thing. And, you know, we were talking about how so many things in life represent themselves as being the real thing. And the simple theme and feeling behind the song is we, you, I, and you, we're the real thing. Human beings, we're the real thing. And then, of course, you know, Molly heard it and he could see the vision. Yeah. Russell heard it and he could see the vision. And then when the thing finally came out, it was nothing like the vision that Russell saw or that I saw. Because Molly just took it somewhere else, didn't he, Russ? Yeah.
Well, I remember the first time we heard it. Well, first of all, John played us some songs, and I really liked them. I said, they're really great. They're great songs. And one was The Girl That I Love. And I said, but really looking for something that's incredibly different. Have you got anything that's different? And he said, oh, not really. I've written this song, but it's a band song. A solo artist couldn't possibly do it. But he played us The Real Thing, and our hair stood on end. And we all said, that's the song. That's what we want. He said, you're crazy.
I didn't believe it.
That's how it went.
Come and see the real thing. Come and see. I am the real thing. understand, but really not just see me. Trying hard to understand, but really not just see me. There's a meaning there, but the meaning there doesn't really mean a thing. Come on and see the real thing. Come on and see the real thing. Come on and see.
Yeah, there we go. So that was a absolute monster hit, The Real Thing. Now we're going to go on to hear about another Australian monster hit. In fact, this song by Normie Rowe was, I believe, the biggest selling Australian single of the 60s. That's how big it was. And Normie came into the studio and we had a really good interview. I think he's an amazing singer. And oh, what a performer. I've seen him many times at Dennis Smith's shows that Dennis puts on, the Go Show Gold at the Palais each year. And Normie is just phenomenal. He's such a great singer, such a great performer too, just like so many other people that I've interviewed. But let's have a listen to Normie talking about how Shaken All Over came to being.
Well, I want to talk about, well, this is my favourite Normie Rowe song, that's Shaken All Over, and I suppose the people who know their music out there might think that you were using the Johnny Kidd and the Pirates version, but apparently you like Johnny Chester's version and took it from that.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, when I, up until the time that I'd recorded it, I'd never heard Johnny Kidd and the Pirates version.
Oh, okay.
And the interesting thing, I don't know how many degrees of separation there might have been, but the drummer on Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, Shaken All Over, was Clem Cattini, who later on, when I was recording in London, played drums on It's Not Easy.
Oh, really?
And Ooh La La and a few of the other songs I recorded.
Because talking about drums, when we can hear Shaken All Over in a minute, I reckon Graham Trotter does some amazing drumming on Shaken All Over, on your version, doesn't he?
Yeah, and you know what? He's playing with me again.
Oh, really?
Now.
Again? Wow.
Yeah.
But Normie, going back to this double A-sided record, I mean, it sold over 100,000 when it came out. I mean, what was the reaction of your family and everything and all your friends? It must have been incredible to be have one of the biggest selling singles, if not the biggest, of the 60s for an Australian artist.
Yeah, well, I guess, it was very hard for us all to comprehend, really. I mean, what did that really mean, you know? And you always need a rule of thumb to be able to work those sorts of things out. You need to be able to say, well, it's sort of like if everything was really shiny black, then it'd be just like shiny black, you know, so you could have a rule of thumb. Or if everything was covered in beautiful green grass, then it would be just like a beautiful green grass field. But there was nothing, you know, it's number one hit.
But it would have been exciting. I mean, hearing your voice on the radio as you're driving around.
Oh, of course. Of course. And it still is. I still get a great buzz when I'm driving around and somebody plays one of my songs or one of the songs that the Playboys and I recorded. I get very excited. And you know, what I do is I actually listen in, I listen past my voice, and I start listening into what the other guys were playing and the recording process, remembering what that was about, how much reverberation was used on the voice, or how many overdubs we did. And gee, there's not much generation loss for something that we perhaps did. I don't know, perhaps 5 or 10 overdubs on.
Now, next we have Colleen Hewitt, and she's an Aussie icon, and we're going to talk about her amazing recording of Superstar. And something I like to do is just tell the artist face-to-face what I really think of some of their work. It's nice to be able to tell them instead of, it's an opportunity that I had very often just to feed back to them, basically say thank you for what you've given us. So here's Colleen Hewitt.
Now, I've said this on air before, so I'm going to say it to you now that you're here.
Okay.
So, in other words, I'm not just saying it because you're here, okay? I regard your recording of Superstar from July 1971 to be the all-time best female Australian vocal ever recorded.
Oh,
ever.
That's a statement, Mark.
It's a big statement, but I'm going to explain why. Okay,
okay,
I'm going to talk through this because it's exciting having you here, and I'd like to tell you why I think that. The power in the voice and the emotion is just unbelievable. And the song is about a girl who had a short affair with a rock star, and he's moved on to the next town, and despite promises to see her again, she can now only hear him on the radio.
Correct.
So when I hear your version of this, there's so much power. I mean, you can really believe what you're singing. You know, you it's like you're crying in your voice. And it was...
Oh, my gosh.
It was written by a guy called Claude Bridges. And now people listening will go, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, because I'm thinking Leon Russell.
Yes. Well, guess what? That was a bit of a trick because Leon Russell was born Claude Bridges and he changed his name.
Oh, so you cheeky thing.
Just a bit of a trick there. But look, anyone who knows Leon Russell, if you look at Leon Russell, and for those of you who haven't seen him, he's this really big guy with a huge beard. He sort of looks like a bikie, and there's nothing wrong with looking like
no
a bikie.
No way, no,
but,
long
but,
white hair.
But there's no way by looking at him that you would think he could write such songs like Superstar, and he also wrote some other great songs called A Song For You, Delta Lady, Hummingbird, Tightrope. This Masquerade is a beautiful song.
Incredible, yes.
And I'm very happy to say that my wife Rachel and I were his guests when he came to Melbourne and concert, and he was fantastic because he was really, he was part of the Wrecking Crew, which was a fantastic LA session, guys. But this song, of this recording of yours, Colleen, is just unbelievable. So I'd like to ask you, what can you remember about the actual recording session? Because if you listen to the song, everything about that session is perfect. If you listen to the guitar licks, every note that guy plays is fantastic. The piano's fantastic. It's as though all the planets aligned properly for that session, if you like.
I just wonder, Mark, that's very, very, very nice of you to say all that, because not a lot of people really listen to the words of songs. They'll sing along with it and everything because it's just like parrot fashion. But that song meant a lot to me because being in bands and surrounded by, you know, guys all the time from the age of 12, and whether we were doing little tours, the Lonely Ones, they didn't tour. Esquires, we used to go to Horsham and you know, well, all those towns, I can't even remember, Ballarat and wherever.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd be doing all the town halls and stuff. And I'm not saying that all members of the bands that I had been in, Laurie Allen Review and Ian Saxon and The Sound, but when I heard Superstar, I knew someone out of every band that had gone through what this song is about.
Yeah.
You know, and whether they were married or not, and a lot of them are dead now, so I can say that safely. Mm. It was all about that. Oh, yeah, oh, you're special, you're great. Oh, I can get you in the back door and, you know, you don't even have to pay for the concert and everything. And you could see the girl, you know, just melting about this whole thing, and you knew damn well. Mm-hmm. He had no intention of calling back again because there's another line of other, you know, would-bes out there as well. So the words to me, that's what I just totally connected with it and thought, this is not a make-believe thing. This is someone that's actually gone through that.
Yes.
And that's why it was like a crying thing. If I could have thrown in the words something like, you know, don't make promises you can't keep,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I would have liked
to
have done that,